I can't hear you. Praise the Lord. You can do a bit better than that. Praise the Lord. Okay. Today we're talking about dealing with the past. Dealing with the past. It's a very special topic, because somewhere along the line you're going to have to deal with the past. Praise the Lord. Somewhere along the line you're going to have to deal with your past. Your past talks about the things that have happened before that also have the power to affect your future. The past is talking about the bad experiences you have heard, the fears that you have had. If you are going to make a success of your future, you must be able to successfully deal with the past. If you are going to win in your future, you must be able to deal with the past. Let's start by reading this scripture, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Dealing with the past. I want to specially recommend a message, a CD, is titled Broken Promises. I'm sure they should have it at the back there. If they don't have it, you can book it and get it. Broken Promises is talking about, bad relationships that you've had. Relationships that have broken up, how to deal with breakup. All right? Whether you are the cause of the breakup or you are the victim of the breakup, how to deal with it. I dealt with it on that CD. It's titled Broken Promises. I want to encourage everyone to get it. It will bless you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Philippians 3, 13. Are we there? I can't hear you. Are we there? Philippians 3, 13. Dealing with the past. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, but this one thing I do. Let me tell you about one thing. This one thing I do. This is very important. And this is Paul. He was a successful person. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are what? Behind. And reaching forth unto those things which are what? Are before, in front of me. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. This is powerful. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing for the things in front. You know what that means? That means you can't do two of them at the same time. If you are going to focus on your past, you are not going to reach out to the future that God has for you. You have to make up your mind today that the future is better than the past. Is somebody here? You have to make up your mind today. You cannot do the two of them at the same time. Nobody drives a car forward looking at the rearview mirror. You only look at the rearview mirror when you're ready to go backwards. Paul said, this one thing I do. You too should share that by your life. This one thing I must do. Forgetting the things that are behind. Compulsory. If I'm going to catch the things that are, and I'm here to tell you, in fact, that's what the message focuses on. I'm here to tell you that God has a better future for you than whatever you have seen in your past. Oh, somebody didn't believe what I said. You might not fully understand what I'm saying now. I'm here to tell you, because I know there's someone here that has been through some bad experiences. I'm here to tell you that what is in front of you is far more glorious than what is behind you. What is in front of you will make a mockery of what is behind you. What is in front of you will be so bright that what is behind you will look like darkness. The people in front of you will be so nice and so loving that it will make you forget the people that are behind you. Paul said, this one thing I do. If you are going to lay hold on that glorious future, you must forget the bad past. You must let go of it. What is in the past? Our hurts. All the people that have treated you badly. And as long as you're in this life and it's human beings you're dealing with, human beings are not perfect. So they are going to treat you badly somewhere along the line. If you have not been through it, the chances are very high that you will still be through some kind of disloyalty, some kind of betrayal. If they treated Jesus badly, you can't be, permit the grammar, please, you can't be gooda. Something I like to use word like that. That better doesn't, gooda conveys the real idea. Sometimes you can't be gooda than Jesus. Do you understand? You cannot be, okay, some people are not happy I'm following English. Okay, you cannot be better. So you're teaching our children wrong grammar. It's a lie, it's my program. You can't be gooda. Like, do your own. I do my own. When you have your own program, call it anything you want. You can't be gooder than Jesus. If they treat, with all the goodness that Jesus had, if people still treated him badly, if he still had disloyal people, if he still had people that betrayed him, guys, you will see, you will have. Jesus Christ said, nobody is greater than his master. That if they hated me, they will hate you. So the truth is that no matter how nice you try to be, someone is still going to treat you badly. Someone is still going to even take advantage of your niceness. Even if you're a wicked person, someone will still betray you. So don't say, wickedness is not the solution. Don't say, hey, if I'm good, they'll tell me to be wicked. They will still betray you. Praise God. That's why it's not even good to judge. If someone is having people betray him, it's not good to judge the person that he's evil. It doesn't follow. So maybe if some people see a business owner that has his staff leaving, or even a pastor that has his members leaving, somebody can think, that man must be wicked. Why is everybody leaving? No. There was a message Jesus Christ preached. Everybody left. Was Jesus bad? No. So it doesn't follow. That's what I'm trying to say. Human beings are going to be human beings. So don't be quick to make assumptions that because, oh, this thing happened to this person, he must be a wicked person. He might be the good person. What is in the past? Our hurts. What is in the past? Our fears. Sometimes the past that is disturbing some people is just a fear. A fear that came into their lives based on some experiences that they had in the past. Maybe you grew up in a home where your father was beating your mother, and you have that fear that you will marry a man like that. Or you have that anger from what your father did to your mother, or what your mother did to your father, any which way. If you are going to reach out for the things that are in front of you, you must let go of the things that are in the past. And the good thing about it is that if you can let go of it, God always compensates you for it. Is somebody here? What is in the past? Those bad experiences, those hurts, those fears, those mistakes. Sometimes all that is in the past is the mistakes you made. Not that somebody did it to you. You did it to yourself. Praise God. Is there somebody here that has a mistake that he did to himself? That you have no one to blame but you? Amen. But what I'm here to say today is that as long as that issue is in your past, don't give it power over your future. If you don't let go of the past, it will soon have power over your future. What are some of the steps we can take? What are some of the steps we can take? Number one, you need to realize that you must first forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Because, you know, the interesting thing is that I've met many people that are holding on to the past. In other words, they are holding on to themselves, their own part in what happened in the past. There are even some ladies that have been raped and they blame themselves. There are even some ladies that have been molested, or some guys that have even been molested and they blame themselves. They feel it's their fault. Now, whether it was your fault or whether it was not your fault, one thing you must do is to forgive yourself. That thing will have power over your future if you hold on to the blame. You have, even if you have killed somebody, forgive yourself.
So people say, I should forgive myself. Yes, what's the alternative? Even if you kill yourself, it doesn't cancel the fact that you have killed somebody. Is somebody here? I say, somebody here. When it comes to the past, there is little or nothing you can do to change the past. Your only power is in changing the future. You cannot do anything about the past. Is somebody here? You can't do anything about the past. You only have power to affect your future. And one of the first steps you must do is to forgive yourself. If you keep worrying, if you keep blaming yourself, if you keep talking evil, talking down on yourself, you will never move forward. You can't do anything about the mistakes you have made. You can't keep saying, if I had known, if I had known, if I had known. You did not know. It has passed. And even if you knew, it's too late. Forgive yourself. It is pride not to forgive yourself when God has forgiven you. If God can forgive you, why can't you forgive yourself? It's pride. That means somewhere in your mind, you think you are too good to make a mistake. You think you are too much to make a mistake. Nobody is too good not to make a mistake. We've all made mistakes before. There is no great person you are seeing today that doesn't have a history or stories of bad things that they have done that they are not happy about. But if you are going to move forward, you must forgive yourself. There are two ways to treat life. You either fall and stay down, or you fall and get up. This evening I'm here to tell you, if you fall, get up. Don't stay down. The Bible says a righteous man falleth 7 times and he stands up again. I declare today, I command today that you stand again. Amen. Refuse to stay down. There is no general that doesn't have scars. All of us have been through something in the past. Your own case is not unique. I know somewhere along the line you want to feel special. Look for something that will make you feel special, my brother. If it's about the past, we all have a past. Many of which we are not proud about. Hallelujah. But don't allow the regret of the mistake of yesterday stop you from making progress today. Forgetting the things that are behind and reaching out to the things that are in front. There's someone here, God is going to make you so happy. God is going to make you so blessed. You won't remember the past. You will try to remember, but the joy of the future will make it impossible for you to remember your past. Oh, someone is not getting what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm telling you, God is going to so compensate you that you will try to remember and regret the past, but the blessing and the testimony of today will make it difficult to remember the past. Yeah. Forgive yourself. Stop blaming yourself. You have made the mistake. Forgive yourself. If you can't forgive yourself, you can't move forward. Forgive. If God can forgive you, and God has forgiven you, said if you have made a mistake, ask. You know, for you to be asking God to forgive you of one thing more than one time, it means you don't even understand God. You don't understand the Bible. He said, if you have committed any sin or you have done anything you don't like, he said, ask Him to forgive you. They say He is faithful and just. DJ, can you show that scripture? He is faithful and just to forgive us all our trespasses and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. I think it's 1 John 1:9. So if you have, it's wrong to go to God. Look at the 1 John 1:9. Say, if we confess our sins, He is what? I can't hear you. Are you looking at the screen at all? He is what? He is faithful and what? And just to do what? To forgive us our sins and to do what? To cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. So it is wrong to go to God every day and be telling Him about the same thing. Every day. That means you don't believe that He has forgiven you yesterday. Once is enough. You don't even need a special ceremony to ask Him to forgive you. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Don't make a big issue out of your sin. Don't make a big issue out of your mistake. He said, if you ask me to forgive you now, I will. And if God can forgive you, Why can't you forgive yourself? It's pride. Self-pride. You think you are too much to make a mistake. We've all made mistakes. Every one of us. The best of us have mistakes. Hallelujah. Unfortunately, there are some wisdom. I mean, sometimes only through mistakes some people can get wise. Some people who. Because they are not quick with instruction. So they quickly go through some experience to help their thinking. Praise God. Some people are slow. They don't, as I'm teaching like this, they don't like that one. See, just teaching, just easy like that. So they have to go through something. They say, hey, that man is right. They will not be interpreting what I thought 10 years ago after they've gone through something. Some people, that's the way they can. So, but forgive yourself. Don't go to God every day and be asking him to forgive you of what you did last year. You've asked every week, you ask him. There's no faith in that. He said he is faithful and just to forgive you. If you ask him to forgive you once, he has forgiven you. Every time you're coming back to repeat the case, he's wondering what you're talking. He doesn't know what you're talking about. Because he has forgiven you the first time. Is somebody here? Let me tap your neighbor and say, forgive yourself. Because some people, that's what makes the pain them. They say, why did I do that? How can I? It hold me. I can't believe it. Why? Let it go. Forgive yourself. The second step that you need, if you're going to deal with the past, is forgive the person that offended you. Forgive the person that offended you. This is very powerful, though. Because the truth is that there are some people, I don't know if that happened to you, there are some people that will offend you. Eh? Sometimes you just sit down on your own, you just remember it. Does it happen to you? You won't believe it. That, as in, really? You not argue with yourself. Does it happen to you? You judge the matter. You bring the matter to court afresh. As if it's a fresh case. You will bring their own side. You bring your own side. There will be counter... What do they call those things? Eh? Lawyer. Counter argument. Is the argument they call it? So you will bring their argument and a counter argument. You will cross-examine the witnesses. In this case, you cross-examine the suspects. You will examine and cross-examine them. You will be the lawyer and the judge and the bailiff. And that guy that types, what's his own name? Eh? Clark. They should give him a better name. That work is doing is much. Give him a bigger name than that. You will do all the, and you will still judge in your favor. That based on all the evidence brought before you, I'm still the winner of the case. But you see, if you continue to do that, you will not allow yourself enter into the blessings that are in front of you. Forgive that person. Let me say this at this point. When people hear forgive someone, they're saying, but he offended me, or but he has not apologized, but he doesn't even agree he did something wrong. You need to understand, when God tells you to forgive someone, he's not saying you should forgive the person because the person is right. He's not saying you should forgive the person to help the person. He's asking you to forgive the person to allow him, God, pay you back. As long as you are holding on to that person, you are not ready to get the compensation that God wants to give. Praise God. Even in natural law, if somebody offends you, you are not supposed to take the laws into what? Your own hands. The moment you do that, the whole case has turned against you. The only way to formally take the person to court and get him to pay you compensation is to leave him and take him to the judge. Hello? And in this case, the judge is God. And when you got to the judge said, forgive all those that offend you. The moment you can do that, God is going to pay you back. But you see, many people want to hold on to what the person did to them. It helps them feel better. He's the one who offended me. He's the one that is wrong. We agree. But you have to let it go if you want a better future to come. Forgiveness is not about the person that offended you. Forgiveness is to help you, the offended. There's a woman that is called Joyce Meyer. Most of you might know her. She's a great woman of God. Joyce Meyer was molested by her father.
Do you understand? She was sexually abused by her father. Not neighbor. Not cousin, not uncle. Joyce Meyer was sexually abused by her father. Not for 1 week. Not for 1 year. It happened close to, is it 11 or 15 or something crazy like that? Years, more than 10 years. It affected her first marriage because she was just scattered inside. First marriage didn't end well. Those things will even affect the kind of person you want to marry. That past will just continue if you don't let go. He was able to forgive his dad, and he got to a stage where his father became born again and apologized for everything he did. And before the man died, she baptized him and got him born again. If she didn't forgive him, that case wouldn't have ended that way. I don't know the person that has offended you. I'm here to tell you, forgive the person. There, see, God is about to bless you. God is about to compensate you for what you have been through. But you need to forgive that person. You know why? One of the reasons why you must forgive the person is that you too, you've offended people before. I'm sorry to tell you that. Because I know some of you don't think, you think you are perfect. You think you have never, me, Pastor B, I have not offended anyone. I'm the best friend anybody can have. Thank you. Thank you so much. Guy, you have offended someone. You've done something sometime, whether it was knowingly or unknowingly, that has offended someone. Even if you claim you have not offended someone, you've offended God before. And he has forgiven you. If God can forgive you, my brother, you have no right not to forgive someone else. Forgive that person. I know it's painful sometimes, but you see, what is ahead is better than what is behind. And the only way you can access what is ahead is to forgive the person that is behind. Help me tap your neighbor and say, forgive the person. In some cases, it's people who forgive the people. I know it's painful. Sometimes you invested so much in that relationship. I mean, you gave it your best. You were willing to die for that person, and the person didn't recognize it. But God said, forgive the person. Do you know that Jesus died for our sins? And the sad thing was that when he was dying, the people he was dying for were abusing him. And I normally say in my church, if it was a Nigerian Jesus, of course he will not die. Say, me? Are they die for and are they yab me? Who you be? Who do you think you are? I no die again. He will just sit on the ground. Say, anyone can carry me from here. I no die again. You don't start begging, please now. God no verse. Say, no! No, I don't suffer. I know it, I don't suffer to reach here. You know who I be? You know who I be? Hey! They're not begging you, please, please, no verse, no verse, bros, no verse. He will not put one leg, say, make I go, make I go. I'm not going. He will climb the cross, and say, come now, no verse. I say, bros, no verse. We don't go flog you again, I go. Praise God. Do you know the crazy thing about it? The people he was dying for did not appreciate it. See, if you die for people that appreciate it, it's still a great sacrifice. See Mandela. Mandela suffered for people, and the whole world celebrates him. That's a baby version. In fact, it's really not still compared to what Jesus did. Mandela did not die. He was willing to die. He didn't die. Even now that he wants to die, they are trying to keep him alive. Sorry if you're obvious. Don't be angry. They won't show this part on TV. Even now that he's trying to die, they're trying to keep him alive. Jesus was not like that. Jesus was not just willing to die. He died. He died for the sins of other people, not his own sin. And the people he was dying for did not celebrate him. In fact, they were stoning him and beating him. And you know what? Before he still died, he still forgave them. I can understand dying for people that are healing you. Say, hey, Kizo, 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 Kizo. And you're para. You want die, oh? But the shakara too much. Kizo. You didn't wave your fans. Hey, my people. One love. You want die with that, oh? Hey, peace, man, peace. And you're taking picture of people. Say, hey, God. You're taking picture. I can understand that. I can understand that. You die in a glorious way. CNN, everybody come to, even come to CNN, come to interview you. Say, this Amman Paul interviewing Pastor Kingsley. You want to die for your people. So how do you see this kind of great thing? You say, listen, gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that by God's grace, by the mighty grace of the God, I'm here to die for my glorious people. Interview, they could do proper interview, everything. Praise God. And they'll do reality show. 24 hours before the death of Jesus. They'll be following you everywhere the last 24 hours. Everywhere where you go, the water where you drink. And you advertise all the great things. Zara water. They will show your clothes. Designer say, what are you going to wear as you're going to die now? Say, my shirt is, this is my shirt is CEO wardrobe. You know, this is my trouser is, now person won't die. See this wristwatch, you go come tell her what you wear and the perfume. Then your last meal, hey, the last supper. You know? That would have been nice. But this guy that died, the people he was dying for did not like him. They were still abusing him. And before he died, guess what he says? Say, Father, forgive them. No. Father, beat these ones. Beat them and show yourself that you are God Almighty. Defend your son, oh God. No. He didn't do all that. He didn't say by fire, by force. He didn't say, oh, my enemy fall and die. Thank God Jesus was not a Nigerian Christian. So, oh, my, all those that wish me to die, return to sender. Ah. Fall and die. Fall and die. Fall. Thank God it wasn't the fall under. Holy Ghost. He's trying to save them from hellfire. He can't be calling Holy Ghost fire again to kill them. People you are trying to rescue from hellfire, you are calling fire again for them. Stop praying for your enemy to die. Pray for him to be saved. He needs Jesus. He needs the love of God in his heart. Jesus prayed for his enemies to be forgiven. Can you imagine that? Say, Father, forgive them. Say, for they know not. See, when people are offending you most times, they don't even know they don't have the power to know. They don't have the capacity to know what they're doing to you. And you see, it's not your job to help them know, because the more you try to explain, to seem as if you're looking for something else, just leave them. One day they might know. And the truth is that sometimes they might even never know till they die. And the reason why God is saying let them go is because you can't, God didn't promise you that the people that offended you will apologize. So there are some people that have offended you and they will never change. In fact, they will believe they are the ones right and you are the one that have offended them. So don't wait for them to change. They will never change. Praise God. But God is saying the reason I'm asking you to still forgive is because I want to compensate you. Is somebody catching this? I need you to understand. The reason why God is saying you should forgive is not because the person is right. It's not because the person will change. It's not because the person will one day realize they've offended you. No. The person might never realize they've offended you. The person might never change. But God is saying, if you don't forgive them, you make it difficult for me to bless you. Because part of the rules in this kingdom is that if you have enjoyed forgiveness, you have no right to stop somebody else from enjoying forgiveness, no matter what they have done. Somebody here. So forgive the person. Say, if your brother offend you, forgive him. Hallelujah. Peter was from Niger Delta. How do I know that? He was a fisherman. So he was a Jew. So, Peter asked Jesus Christ, okay, you say we should forgive. How many times should we forgive? Is it 7 times? Because I have somebody that has offended me 6 times. I want to know whether the last one you offended me, I should slap him. They provoke. Niger Delta. And Jesus said, sorry if you're Niger Delta, I'm just joking. Somebody can be angry now. And Jesus said, forgive him 70 times, 7 times. And Peter began calculating. Say, he go reach. Make a calculate. One day he go reach that time. No. What Jesus was trying to say is that forgive continuously. Not, you are not forgiving because the person has apologized. You are forgiving so that you can receive what God has for you. You can receive better. Are you here? Tap your neighbor, say, forgive that person. Or forgive those people. The next step. Number 3. Let go and let God. Let go and let God. Let go and let God. Listen carefully. And this is important. This is important. In the first scripture we read, Paul said something. He says, this one thing I do. Philippians 3:13. He said, this one thing I do. He said, forgetting those things which are behind me, I'm pressing for or reaching out for those things which are in front of me. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. There is something better in front of you. And this is good news, my brother. If you have been through a past hurt, I'm here to tell you categorically that there's something better for you. If there is a guy that has treated you badly, I'm here to tell you there is a better guy waiting for you ahead. If there's a girl that has treated you badly, I'm here to tell you there's a better girl waiting for you out there. Oh, look, you look. Some, what I'm saying now, you just need to understand it by faith. Some of you might be difficult. You just understand it by faith. Eh? If there's a guy now or a guy in your past that you loved with all your heart, you did everything for, you treated you badly, listen, eh? There is someone else coming that is going to treat you better than that last guy. He's going to treat you so well that the thing that you were crying about yesterday, you will start thanking God about it tomorrow. Look, there is a kind of compensation God will give you. You will thank him for allowing those bad things to have happened. For allowing those people to have left your life. I've met people that come and tell me that, Pastor, can you imagine this boy? I was in a relationship with him. I did everything for him. Everything for him. And he was even beating me. And finally, I found out he wants to marry somebody else. Hey, Pastor, I'm crying. I said, you shouldn't be crying. That is a testimony that God delivered you from such a wicked guy. You ought to be thankful about that. God always has better. God's resources never finish. That's why we call him the El Shaddai. Do you understand? The multi-breasted one. That means there is no need mankind can have that God cannot provide. And the good thing about it, God doesn't just provide that need. He can do exceeding, abundantly, above all that you ask or think. I'm telling you, check in your Bible. When God fed 5,000, he knew how many people were there, but he put extra. Can you imagine? They fed 5,000 men, and they had, and you know, if you know men will eat more than one ration. And these are men that have not eaten for many days. So they will eat more than one ration. They fed 5,000 men and they had how many baskets left? 12. And those Israelite baskets were not the kind of basket we carry now. They are man-sized baskets. That means they were about this height. A human being can enter the baskets. That's how they were. 12 jara. Is it that God didn't count them well? God knew their number. But God is used to doing excess. He's used to lavish it. Hallelujah. He's used to flexing. He's used to extravagance. He's used to it. He did extra. When he asked Peter to cast his net into the other side of the boat, he saw Peter's nets. He saw the boat. The Bible said Peter's boat was filled up. Peter called his partners. Their own boat too was filled up. And the two boats were sinking because of fish. Is it that Jesus didn't see how many boats, the space they had? He saw the space, but it is in God's nature to do more. Is somebody here? I say it's in God's nature to do what? To do more. I'm here to tell you, if you have been through a past hurt, if you can follow all the things I'm telling you now,
the person God will bring into your life will be better than the one that left your life. I'm saying it categorically. The person God will bring into your life will be better than the ones that left your life. Ooh, I'm telling you. It's something I've seen firsthand. I'm yet to see when people leave my life and a worse person comes. I'm yet to see every time somebody has left my life, a better person comes. A better person. In fact, the new people that come are always better. At the beginning, it might not look like that, but trust me, God knows what he's doing. I dare you, if you follow these principles, nobody, you won't be threatened by anybody leaving your life. A better one will come. Who betrayed Jesus? Judas. Do you know the real replacement for Judas? Apostle Paul. Who do you rather have, Judas or Paul? They are not even comparable. There were 12 disciples. 12 has a significant number. In scripture, there are numbers that have significance. I don't want to go into all that today. But if you follow scripture and Bible study, there are numbers that have significance. Praise God. All right? One of such numbers is 3. 3 always has significance in scripture. That's why Jesus rose up the third day. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's even when Jesus had 12 disciples, among the 12, he had a 3 that was what? The most senior. Do you understand this? So one of the numbers that have significance in scripture is the number 12. In Israel, they had 12 tribes of Israel. Israel are the people that are officially God's children, God's people, at least at the beginning time. There were 12 tribes of them. When Jesus was going to choose disciples, it wasn't a coincidence that he still chose 12. Chose 12 disciples. When Judas betrayed Jesus, and now the interesting thing is that Judas betrayed Jesus, Jesus did not drive him. He's the one that couldn't forgive himself. Because Peter too denied Jesus, but Peter forgave himself and came back and he became great. But Judas betrayed Jesus. He couldn't forgive himself. They say he killed himself. Now, the disciples in their own strength, they did ballot to pick somebody that would replace, because they say we must be 12. You know, it's significant. So they did ballot, they replaced it with one guy. The guy, nobody heard his name after that time. So I believe that was man-made. God himself chose another person. Because there had to be 12 senior apostles, all right? There are different kind of apostles. They're the apostles of today time. But there are apostles that established the gospel. Those are the apostles that can't be shaken. Those are the Peter, John, and co. They had to be 12. So Jesus himself picked Paul. One of the signs of being an apostle is that you saw Jesus or you were with Jesus face to face. Paul didn't see Jesus when he was alive, but Jesus still appeared to him when he was dead. So he can say he still saw Jesus. So God literally put Paul as a replacement. Paul wrote like three-quarter of the New Testament. He was like a replacement to Judas. Far better. Every time someone leaves your life, the person coming will be so great, will be far better, that you will even remember the person that left. It has happened in my own life like that. It's happened in my life like that. There was a time that most of my leaders left. The people I have now, I was telling my wife today that it's so amazing. The kind of leaders I have now, I'm so happy that those people went. I'm so glad. I can even go and greet them now. Say, thank you for having enough sense to leave. I can even pay them I pay you for allowing me access my future. That person standing there now, he's blocking you from your future. If he's not the best, let him go. There is better ahead of him. Oh, you don't know what I'm saying. I said there's better ahead of him. There are some people in your life now, you are struggling to maintain them. Let them go. If you don't let them go, you won't let God move. God always has better. There's a message I preach. It's called God's reserve bench. God's reserve bench. Look, in normal football, the people in the bench are lesser than the people playing. In kingdom football, the people on the bench are more dangerous than the players. Is somebody catching this? You know, God always does his own things opposite of what man does. He said his ways are not our ways, Abi. In normal football, you put your top 11 first. They'll be warming at the top 11, they'll play. Then you put your weaker 11 or weaker reserve as reserve. So if one injure, you bring. In God's kingdom, the best guys are on reserve bench. God starts with the weak ones. Because if he doesn't give the weak ones a chance, they will never have a chance.
So you start with the weak ones to see if any of them can be humble enough to allow him help them. See Saul. Saul was the first king of Israel. And he thought it was the best thing that happened to Israel. When they replaced him, who did they replace Saul with in the Bible? David. David, Jesus came from the lineage of David. They still call Jesus the son of David. The Bible said David never lost a battle. Do you understand? He's the only king that never lost a battle in the Bible. Do you understand? David, whether he was fighting an animal or fighting an army, David always won. David was the guy that God said, I have found a man. He flawed Saul. He was far better than Saul. But at the time, Saul thought he was the best king that ever in Israel. Elijah, happened to Elijah. Elijah thought he was the best prophet, the only prophet. In fact, he was crying. He said, God, everybody has started serving idol. I'm the only one serving you. Elijah called fire from heaven. He said, God, I'm the only one left. Kill me. I'm tired. I'm the only one. God said, I have about 9,000 prophets that have not bowed their knee to Baal. Hey, see reserve bench. Which day you go exhaust that reserve bench? God said, I have 9,000 reserve. And they are more dangerous than you. God said, to show you, let me give you only one. His name is Elisha. There are many, but let me just daze you with one. Let Elisha take your place. Elijah did 16 miracles. Elisha did 32. Elisha did 32. And I'm sure Elisha is the cheapest among the reserve. There are some other more dangerous people. Say, let me humble you with one small boy called Elisha. Anoint him. His name is like your name. Anoint him. Let him take your place. Elijah resigned. Elisha took over. He did 32 miracles. Exactly double of what Elisha did. What Elijah did. And the good thing was that he did 31 when he was alive. The 32nd one, Elisha did it when he was dead. Elisha's dead bone was still raising dead body. Kai. I wonder the remaining people on that reserve bench. I wonder how dangerous they would have been. Is somebody hearing this? God has people. Are you listening? God has children. If you are trusting God for a good marriage, trusting God for a good husband, a good wife, if the person in your life now is messing up, don't beg them. Don't chase them. Let them go. If you don't let go, you won't let God. It's amazing. I'm telling you, I am. I was telling my wife today. What's today? I was discussing that. When I see the people that are in leadership in this church now, I'm so happy. You see, and you won't know what God has until He removes what's in your front. You'll be thinking that this one I'm seeing, there can't be something better than this. I'm here to tell you that what is ahead is better than what you have now. I'm telling you, if you can allow God, you will go back to your past and thank that person that left. I say, my brother, thank you for living. How much can I pay you? You will go back. I'm telling you, if you can follow what I'm teaching you, you will testify to what I'm saying. I'm telling you, you will categorically go back and thank those people for leaving you. Hey, God has reserve. I said, God has reserve. I said, God has reserve. The boy that made you commit abortion, all these things, and he still left you. And you are crying. What are you crying about? There's better. Maybe the boy that even impregnated you and you even had the child and he ran away. There's better. You will see someone that will still love you with that child and treat you with respect. Why do you want to stay with the one that is always insulting you? His good money is insult. When he first see you, the first thing he says is idiot, useless girl. How you day? You don't wake? As if he was praying that you should not wake. Come on. Let me read some scripture to you. If you can let go, you will let God. Let me show you what God wants to do. Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 verse 7. Somebody's going to get a testimony that will make you so happy. I'm telling you, compensation is coming your way. Amen. Oh, that amen is not born again. Amen. Compensation is coming your way. In my close to 20 years of working with the Lord,
whenever people leave me, a better person comes. His reserve bench is better. His reserve bench is better.
Hallelujah.
Adam was the first son of God that ever came. He didn't even last. Satan had knocked him off. Guess who the replacement of Adam was? Jesus was the second son of God that came. Are they comparable? God's reserve bench is dangerous. Oh. I usually tell people that are workers in my church, be careful. Oh. You are the one singing now. You are the one playing drum now. You are feeling you are the best. If you mess up, the person they will bring after you will make a mess of what you have been doing since. You will just show your weakness. Now that they are still celebrating you, humble yourself and perform. Don't start feeling big. Nobody can do it like me. When you see the person say, come after you, you self go fear. You will be embarrassed for yourself. Are you listening? There's always, you know, when Saul was messing up, David was warming up. When you are in the game, anytime in football, when somebody running by the sideline, just they run by himself, they warm up. That means somebody in the field is messing up. Then they'll just say, one day they'll show your number. Come out. They just tell one other person, enter. Then the person will enter and score 2 goals. And the coach will say, why I can't let this idiot come to play since? He will tell you, drop your jersey and your boots. Go home. Don't ever. If I see your leg here, make sure you are not that person. If you're serving in church, serve humbly. If God has brought someone good to your life, treat the person right. Isaiah 61, are we there? Glory to God. God is going to give somebody so much joy. I'm telling you. You are going to thank God your last relationship did not work. I'm serious. You are going to thank God for it. Because if that one did not break, you won't get the next person that is coming. Say, Pastor, there's this girl I proposed to her. I send her credit. I send her phone. I send her everything. She did not. She said no, that she doesn't want me. Oh, Pastor, what should I do? You want beat him? You want kidnap him? Hey, for the fact that she can't appreciate your value, she doesn't deserve you. You don't get it. See, I don't know how some people do it. Marriage is not by force. It's supposed to be between two willing people. Because the journey is a far journey. Your encouragement can't help another person. Two of you must be encouraged. Your willingness can't help another person. Two of you must be willing. You never run long distance race before. They don't encourage somebody to do marathon. Marathon is too long. You must encourage yourself. So you can't be begging someone or over toasting someone to marry you. If the person can't see anything good inside you, there's no use. Because if you beg them to start with you, you have to beg them to continue. And every part of the journey, they'll be saying, oh, I didn't want to marry you. You see now? Oh, you see? Oh. Make sure you look for someone that also loves you the way you love them. That sees something in you. They must see something in you. Not that you are over, you're sending credit. And sometimes girls even make that mistake. You can't be the one toasting the guy. You can't be the one always calling the guy. Sometimes you stop calling, see whether he will call you. If he doesn't call you for 1, 2, 3 days, then it's telling you that you're wasting your credits. Because you know, some girls don't understand. Because you're always calling him and he's answering you, doesn't mean he sends you. Sometimes you don't call. If he doesn't call you one day, doesn't call you today, he no send you. Don't waste your credit. You will not send him credit to call you. What's the use? You have defeated the whole purpose. If he can't like you, if he can't do anything, look, I don't know. If a guy likes you, then he will have time for you. That's how it works. If he's claiming he's busy, he's just telling you
in a man's language that I am too busy for you. I no send you. Distance doesn't even affect a guy that likes a girl. I don't see guys, they travel every weekend. Now bank out Friday from work, now you go, you don't pack in bag. From work, you enter your Lagos Ibadan Express Road. Straight to Uniben. He said he's busy. Then you are in a relationship for 3 years. He's busy. The one that shocked me, somebody shared with me that the relationship with the guy he has never met before. They're in a relationship, they've never seen each other. That the guy came to town. In fact, came to her near her street. I stayed there with his parents for some days, and they still didn't see that he's busy. He's not busy. He's just not interested. Men know they're busy like that. Busy they do what? Is he president of America? Even president of America get wife. Some even get babe join. And are you president? Are you what? I mean, how busy? What are you doing? Busy. Mandela said, don't marry how many times? You busy, Richard? You say you are busy. It's Elijah. You are not interested. Now send him credit. Say, take this credit and call me. Then he will, or she will take the credit and still flash you. And you see the toaster. You know, as funny as it is, I still see people day in, day out tell me these things. Oh, that there's this girl in this department. I talk to her. What are you talking about? If she can't like you, if she can't see anything in you, she doesn't deserve you. Love is not by force. Love is not a punishment. It's two people that care about each other. If the care is not there, then let it work out. Look, I know there will be someone that will appreciate you. You are just not seeing it. You are chasing one person that doesn't appreciate you. What's the use? That's why I don't understand how marriages do not work. Marriage is supposed to be between two people that love each other. Not, some people love marriage, they don't love their wife. You understand? Some wives love marriage, they don't love their husband. It's marriage they love. They love the institution. They don't love the husband. So that's why you see those kind of women, they will say, well, I'm not in the mood to sleep with my husband. Wait till be marriage. What do you think we are doing? No, seriously. What is my marriage? I say, because the place I work, you don't know, say, not there they work before you marry. If you could be with that work schedule, you had enough time to go and pick wedding dress. You had enough time to go and check reception hall. You had enough time to attend the wedding. That's your wedding. My sister, you should have enough time to render all services inside our marriage. You must. Praise God. I some men say, I cannot cook. Oh, I can't cook. I'm busy. Uh-huh. But you get time to attend the wedding. If you can attend the wedding, you can cook. You just don't love that man enough. When you love somebody, they'll be begging you not to do things for the person. You're the one that'll be, you'll be doing things. I don't know how people do it. You marry someone, as a man, but you find it hard to tell her she's beautiful. Really? How did you now marry? How did you even? You're supposed to like her enough to marry her in the first place. So complimenting her shouldn't be difficult. Should come natural to you. Hallelujah. I tell my wife every day she's beautiful. She's heavily pregnant. I tell her, you are the most beautiful pregnant woman I've ever seen. I blow her a kiss while I'm at this. Not be you, Mariam. Then force and give you. I don't understand how people do it, though. Let me get to my message, because let me try and get to my message. You are toasting, but he doesn't like you. So, Pastor, what should I do? Slap yourself. Because you don't get sense. In the first place, you see, that's what should
determine the kind of person you should marry, that you are giving her green light and she's also giving you green light. Hey now. Subtly, oh, nobody say go flash big halogen light. Oh. Flood light. Oh. Now, small, small. You know, traffic get on a small. Then you offer. Offer, come on your face. No, not. Just they look straight. Oh, now God will they look. Some people, they go, don't traffic it, they go, don't turn. They want a surprise. No, you traffic it small. You traffic it back. You traffic it more. You traffic it more. So, until you enter full headlight. Then from there, you fire down. I'm saying, you just meet the girl. She don't send you the. That's the whole idea. There's supposed to be some receptance, some reception. When you tell girl hi, she say what? That should tell you, go to your, she says, Jesus loves you. Go where they go. No road there. You tell girl hi, she say what? You say, I love you. Ah. The nail, where she go give you? You're not going to recover. When you tell girl hi, she say hello. You say, ah, I like your hair. It's so nice. She comes smile. I say, thank you. Hey! He's walking. He's walking. He's walking. Hey, now. It's not by force. You trust me. You think there's encouragement. You tell your hair is fine. She smile. You know you're walking. You just did this hair yesterday. She said, ah, no, it's old hair. Eh? Yes, I said, my name is Kingsley. What's your name? No, because what's your name? I said, what do you want to do my name? Jesus knows my name. God. Bye-bye. They go. You don't hide name. Praise God. Hey, try to forget it there now. Praise God. I said, ah, what area do you stay? He said, my mother says, don't talk to strangers. Face your front, don't road there. Isaiah 61. Let me try and move on. Praise God. Now so ask my wife. I didn't I met many fine girls before I met her. Some no, they don't send me at all. I was, you know, the while I go and visit them, everything, but I wasn't seeing any encouragement. I just disappeared, I fade. I don't call them again. One of them, after many years, she now saw me on TV. I don't know where she get my number from. You know, people have a way of finding your number when you are not important. Person will never call me for how many years? 5-6 years. She can't see me on TV. She's from nowhere. Hello? Is that Pastor Kizzy? Pastor Kizzy? Are they not serious? I just saw you on TV. Yeah, married now. Forget that too. Too late. That time she don't send me. I don't do all the while. I go visit her, everything. Nothing. You know, you to know when people are tolerating you. Not to where you are celebrated, not where you are tolerated. There's somewhere you'll be celebrated though. Don't stay where you are tolerated. The guy is just managing you. Just managing you. I'll not keep you waiting for 10 hours. Then you not call you, say, I can't come after 10 hours. Then you can say, no problem, can we see tomorrow? Eh? After you call me, I say, I've deleted your number, delete my own, yeah? I'm happy not to ever see you again. Then add God will judge you. I'm joking, don't add that one. I'm joking. God will judge you, yeah? May you reap what you sow. Let me move on, I beg. Oh, God. Some people don't suffer in the name of relationship. Some people, what are the sheep where they don't be relationship? None that sheep. Now, hardship, you did. Or suffership, not be relationship. That thing you are in is not a relationship, my sister. Now they see you once in 3 years.
only email address you get. If he changes email address, you have lost contact. It's not a relationship. Okay. Isaiah 61, are you there? Let me try and round up. Verse 7. Isaiah 61, verse 7. Look at what God said. He said, for your shame, you shall have what? Do you see what God is saying? He said, for your shame, you shall have double. And for confusion, they shall what? Rejoice in your portion. Hallelujah. He said, therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall what? Be unto them. God, if you're able to let go, God said, for your shame, I'll give you double. And I'll help you get everlasting joy. I'm telling you. If you can let go of what that person has done to you, or what those people have done to you, the replacement he's going to bring. Sometimes, and when you are hurt, and I'm saying this because I understand where some of you are coming from. Sometimes when you are hurt by some people or someone, you'll be feeling in your heart that there's nothing that can ever make you, you know, get healed or forgive this person. Have you been there before? You'll be thinking that this thing that happened to me now, I will never forget it. It will always pain me for the rest of my life. No. If you can yield yourself to God, because the Holy Spirit can help you. If you can allow the Holy Spirit to help you, let it go. As you let it go, God will bring, the way God will help you forget it is by bringing something or someone that will be so good that you will even have any trace of bitterness or anger or hurt left inside you, because you will be full of joy. Are you listening? Oh, when I went through that time that most of my leaders left, the kind of blessings I've seen since that time, financially, ministerially, every way, my family. God will he will compensate you so much. All the things that you appeared that have been difficult for you to get, he will start loading it into your life. He will bless you so much that you won't have enough time to remember the past. Because the blessings will be so much. Are you following what I'm saying? Oh, I saw it in my own life. Every area, financially, boom, realms I've never entered before. My family life. 8 years waiting for a child. Boom, the child. Everything just started happening the moment Lot left Abraham. Of course, you know who is Abraham in the picture. Ooh. And it will just give you so much joy that when you look back at those things, you will suddenly be able to laugh. Before, when you look back, you will cry. But when the blessings start to pour in, you will look back and you will laugh and you will say, Father, I thank you for removing those people or that person from my life. I'm telling you. Let's read one more scripture. This one said he will give you, for your shame, he will give you double. I don't know the shame you have been through or you are going through. God is saying, if you can do what I'm saying, I will give you double. Joel chapter 2. Joel is in the Bible. Somebody say, which book with that? Now, Bible. Joel chapter 2, verse 25. DJ, I know, just show it on the screen. No, because some people are going to find them. Stop looking at it. You know, you don't know where it is. Somebody just flip, say, Joel, you don't know where it is. Keep your Bible. You don't know where it is. Show it. Honesty is important. They flip Bible, I see if you find them. If we live here for 10 years, you go see, look for them. Joel chapter 2, verse 25. Are we there? He said, and I will restore to you the years. Because sometimes you've invested, part of the things that pains people about their past is that they've invested so much, either money or time, in either growing that relationship or something. God is saying, I will restore to you the years that the locust had eaten. The cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm and all that. He said, I will restore the years. I'm here to tell you, if you have wasted some part of your years in a relationship or with a person that didn't value it, I'm here to declare to you, God will restore the years in the name of Jesus. For the years of pain you have had, God will give you years of pleasure in the name of Jesus. He will give you years of joy in the name of Jesus. Let go and let God. Lastly, as I close, learn. Learn from the experience.
Forgive yourself. Forgive the person. Let go and let God. Then lastly, learn from the experience. The reason why many people don't get the blessing that comes from a bad experience is because they reproduce the experience. So they are still in the same class, like they are repeating the class. Learn from your experience. You've gone to marry or date someone that was not born again. You came out from that one, and now you want to date another unbeliever again? Learn from the experience. You dated someone that was beating you. You've come out, you want to date someone that has threatened to beat you again? Learn from the experience. When you go through a broken relationship, write down why you broke up, if you are the one that broke up. If you are the one that was broken, write it down. Write the points down. You know why? If you don't write those points down, tomorrow, you can be tempted to either reproduce the same thing. Sometimes, some people even go back to the same person. Because they suddenly forget why they ended it in the first place. When you break a relationship sometimes, there's what is called withdrawal symptoms. When you either stop smoking or stop taking Indian hemp or all those things, there's withdrawal symptoms. So that means you are feeling uncomfortable because of the withdrawal. Some people, they have withdrawal symptoms for relationship. They've broken up with somebody. They are now feeling remorse. They are now feeling lonely. And in that time, they have forgotten the reason. The reason why you broke up with the guy was because the guy lies. But because you are now lonely for 2 months, you have time missing him, then you start sending him coded text. Jesus loves you and so do you, so do I. I love you, love of Jesus Christ. I want to make sure you are fine. You now start sending him devotional. Who send you? Don't send him devotional. There are people that is their job to send devotional. You go and save your own life. Before you know it, you start sending him prayer. This is the welcome to a new month of July. May God increase. Leave all those things. Before you know it, you will start talking to him. Before you know it, you will forget. Because you are lonely now, you will forget why you broke up. And you will go back. Like the Bible says, the dog has gone back to his vomit. You will go back and he will do the same things because he has not changed. He will do the same things to you all over. So it's good to write it and say, this is the reason. So in case your head starts confusing you, you can write and say, this is the reason why I broke up in the first place. And like I told you, please get down my CD. It's titled Broken Promises. If you have gone through any broken relationship, you need to hear that CD. I dealt with broken promises, broken relationships in particular, and how to deal with them. Praise God. Tap your neighbor, say, learn from the experience. Learn from it. What mistakes did you do? What things did you do that led to that situation? So that you will learn it and not make it happen again. Praise God. You will learn it and make sure it doesn't happen again. In every bad experience you have, there's always something you can learn. Learn it. Was it that you were too loose? Was it that you were sleeping with the guy when you're not supposed to be sleeping with him? Was it that you were giving him money? I've seen guests like that. Once they see a guy, the guy that tell you, I love you, you love yourself. Yes, please loan me money. Money they loan in love is never repaid. Is love rent. You are paying rent for the love being given to you. Sometimes the pastor, people call me and say, Pastor, there's a member of your church. He borrowed money from me. He has not paid me. I ask a simple question. Were you going out when you borrowed him the money? He say, yes. Say, forget the money. It's me you want to drag into relationship matter. The boy will not say, when you gave me, you say you love me. You say you gave me out of your heart. Now you say, you know, they're dragging back and forth. As long as that money was exchanged when there was love, and now there's no more love, and the girl wants to draw the money, you don't go. So I say, Pastor, there's one guy, warn all the ladies in your church. This boy, he will toss guests and collect money from them. I'll say, so he collect money from you? He say, yes, Pastor. So learn from it. Look, if you're in a relationship with the guy, and the first thing he's asking you for is money, run. Even if it's the second thing or the third thing he's asking you for, run. Money. How? Because all those things, I have a message titled Undue Influences. There are some undue influences in relationships that won't allow the real relationship to survive or succeed. One of it is money. Once money enters the picture, you know, the Bible says money can turn the heart of people. That the Bible says that a gift pervert judgment. Once money is involved, you can't tell who your true supporters are. So remove money. Anybody that can't stand without money will not stand the future. Don't give money. Give money. He'll be following you until the wedding day. You find out that your money they even use pay for reception to marry another person. They now call pastor. Pastor, he took my money. Don't give money. Under undue influence is sex. Sex too can pervert judgment. Ask Samson. So if you start giving sex, the guy can be telling he loves you. He might just love sex. He might not love you. When you remove all those undue influences, if two of us cannot like ourselves to go to the altar, then it won't work. Not that you are using many things to make the relationship survive. Meanwhile, those things will not be there as time goes on. Have you been blessed at all today? Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to pray for you. In case you are here, at this point, I don't want so much movement. I want us to pray. Keyboardist, I thought you'd be playing gently on that keyboard now. I want to pray for someone here today. In case you are here and you have been through a hurt, you have been through some past experiences, you have been through something in the past that appears as if it doesn't want to go, I want to pray with you. I want God to give you joy, so much peace, to give you a blessing that will make you not to remember. Make you not to remember the past and the hurt you have experienced. I want to pray with you like that today. Please bow your heads everywhere. Please bow your heads. Before I pray for everyone, let me first of all pray for the people that need to give their life to Christ. All heads are bowed. No move. If you are here and you're not born again, that means you're not sure where you will go if you die today. I want to pray with you. All heads are bowed. If you are here like that, you want to be honest enough to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want Jesus to come into my heart. Wherever you are, please just raise your right hand up. Raise your right hand up. You are here today and you want to make a commitment to receive Jesus. Raise your right hand. Raise your right hand up above your head. God bless you. Raise it up. Raise it up. Let me see it. God bless you. Raise it above your head. Let me see you. Let me see you. Let me see you. God is going to restore the years you have lost. Raise your hand up. You want to give your heart to Jesus today? Raise your hand above your head, please. Let me pray with you. Or maybe you used to be born again, but you have lost your peace with God, and you want to rededicate your life to Christ. Please raise your right hand. Raise your right hand. Let me pray with you today. Yes, there's somebody there. Let me pray with you today. Raise your right hand. Raise your right hand. Raise your right hand. If your hand is raised up, please carry your Bible. Carry your bag. Carry whatever you came to church with and come. Come to the front. I want to pray with you. Come. Come, please. I want to pray with you. Come. God bless you. Come. Ushers, please direct them. Let me pray with you today. Let me pray with you today. Come, let me pray with you. Come. If you have in front, you can also join us in this prayer. I want to pray for people that have been through some hurt, some past. In fact, before I even pray for you, I need you to pray for yourself. In 1 minute, just begin to talk to God and begin to let go. I want you to let go of that person or those people that have hurt you. Before we pray for the blessing to come, let's receive grace to let go of anybody that has hurt you, anybody that has betrayed you, anybody that has deceived you. Today is a good day to let them go. If you carry that past, it won't allow you access your future. I want you to receive grace today to let them go. Say, Father, I release the people that have offended me. I release that person that is treating me or has treated me badly. I release them today. I let go today. Refuse to worry about it. Refuse to think about it throughout your day. Let it go. Receive strength today to let go of that past. Because Paul said, this one thing I must do. I must let go of the past to access the future. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. I'm going to pray for everyone now. Father, I declare over your people, the same way I have seen your compensation, I have seen your restoration, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice that has been through a past hurt, a past negative experience. I pray, oh God, give them joy that will help them forget their past in the name of Jesus. Give them a blessing that will help them forget their past in the name of Jesus. Compensate them for what they have been through. Restore all the years they have invested in the past. In the mighty name of Jesus, bring in a new dimension of blessing
that they have never experienced before. Give them joy that passeth all understanding. Give them peace on every side. Restore whatever has been lost in the name of Jesus. Give them people that are better than the ones they had in the past. Bring, oh God, a person that will treat them better than the one they had in the past. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare this is the season of your compensation. I declare this is the season of your restoration. I declare God will show up for you in the mighty name of Jesus. At the end of the day, you will thank God that the people that left in the name of Jesus. You will thank God for the people that left your life in the name of Jesus. Because he's going to bring in new people that will love you and respect you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for healing upon every heart. Thank you for healing upon every mind. Thank you for grace to let go of the past in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for grace to forgive ourselves. Thank you for grace to forgive the people that have offended us.
We know you have been blessed by this message. To order a copy of this message or any of our messages, you can call us on 080-777-14412. Or you can visit our website on www.daviscristiancenter.org. Davis Christian Center, home of victorious people.